Hey guys, it's Grace coming at you live from the multiverse. I wanted to follow up on my last episode called How Not to Die While Being a Girlfriend. This is part two. I just wanted to talk a little bit about coercive control tactics. So this is something I was previously kind of familiar with on a lower scale than this last relationship, the one that I was talking about previously in my last podcast. So in relationships before that one, where I almost died because he lied, I have experienced a couple of these tactics, but never this many in like that short amount of time. So I just wanted to talk about some examples of them and what you can do to protect yourself if you are in an abusive or toxic situation that you need some resources on. So some common examples of coercive control tactics would be, number one, isolating you from friends, family, or any kind of support circle that you may have. This works for them because if they can get you alone and away from your support, then they can convince you that, you know, they're right, their word goes. They can hold you down and oppress you. They can really make you feel crazy. So they'll do this with gaslighting, things like that. People who use these coercive control tactics might deprive you of basic needs such as food. And in my opinion, another basic need that they might deprive you of would be sleep or even shelter. So when they can break you down physically, it's easier to mentally and psychologically control you. These abusers might be monitoring your time, monitoring your location, or monitoring your communication. They may take over control of aspects of everyday life, such as where you can go, when you can go, who you can see, what you can wear, what you can buy, when you can sleep, when your meal times are, things like that. Even in this case, toxic relationship, Zane would not allow my cat to sleep in the same room. It started out as only on work nights and then progressed to all the time. He would shut my cat out of the room, and I've had my cat for 4 years. Ever since he was 8 weeks old, whenever I got him, he has always slept beside me. So not only was that disrupting my sleep and my comfort by not having him there, it was also stressing my cat out and already cutting down on the time that we're able to spend together. So that was something that always bothered me. People who use the coercive tactics can deprive your access to support services. So like medical services or employment, opportunities, transportation, you know, things like that. They could repeatedly put you down, or humiliate, degrade, or dehumanize you. They do this through multiple ways. It can be person to person, like one-on-one through, you know, like the gaslighting, bringing you down. They might also try to do it through your social circle or their social circle, so you feel like people are against you. They may try to, you know, humiliate you in front of your family or their family, to become in a power position over you. They could also do this through, like online means. So this could either be straight up putting your info out there and putting you on blast and effectively doxing you, or, you know, humiliating you online through maybe social media. Some people may not even do this directly. They may do it indirectly. You know how, like, people will do those vague posts and they're, like, definitely talking about somebody specific, but they don't actually name them. They'll do that kind of thing too. This is just another way to psychologically break you down so they can exert more control over you. These people are also really known for controlling your finances or anything coming in and out. It could be how you make your money, what you spend your money on, how much you're allowed to spend. You may even be responsible for some of their financial things that they have going on, or they may have made you dependent on their finances. So say you're like a stay-at-home mom and, you know, the husband controls all the money and you can't do anything, you can't leave, you can't better yourself, you don't have any skills, this type of thing. They could also make threats or intimidate you. So, like, a threaten that, you know, they're going to leave or they're going to kick you out or they're going to, you know, take away your children or, harm you, your children, your pets. And then they could intimidate you, you know, with violence, or maybe they have some past stories that they share that show that they were violent. It's kind of like, oh, I could do the same thing to you. In this case, it was with having guns in the house. It's like kind of that vibe of like, you better not step out of line or, you know, you're at risk of getting shot, especially if these people have substance abuse issues and prior violent outbursts or, you know, legal charges having to do with violence. It's very serious. And so I say all of this to say, like, there's definitely help and resources out there for these type of issues. If not law enforcement, there's, you know, plenty of mental health providers that can help. There are medical professionals who are mandated reporters as well that can help, you know, emergency personnel, different things like that. You can also reach out anonymously. There are plenty of ways. As far as the third party perspective goes for getting help with these issues, I also recommend before getting into any intimate relationship or moving in, that you have strong contact set up, whether it be friends, family, neighbors, roommates, and just know, like, you have a circle of people who know your baseline, your mannerisms, and how you usually are, so you can make sure you have good people on your side who are clear-headed and want the best for you and have your best interests at heart. So if your behavior does start to change, they notice you more isolated or withdrawn, you have these people on standby that can help you. There's been some discourse lately online about how, as women, you know, it can be scary to put your safety on hold to help another woman. And I'm not necessarily here to comment on that. I think everybody should do what they feel is right for them. But you would be surprised. A lot of people have a soft spot for these kind of things. And, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. So if you are in a real position, you know, you probably don't have to look very far in your circle for help as far as getting away from your abuser. You know, another big thing is intuition. A lot of times, especially as women, if we feel something is off, chances are it probably is. You know, I've had, you know, really intense dreams before about things, and in the past I kind of ignored those, and you know, the same things I would be dreaming about would be the things that end up happening. And you know, if I had just kind of listened to that voice, I would have saved myself some trouble in the long run. However, it was all lesson learned, because I'm very blessed to know all of this at my ripe age and be able to share that with others older and younger than me. I feel very much that this is not information to be kept hidden. It's not something you should have to pay for or go necessarily to see somebody about. This is, you know, basic stuff you can find online, and I'm just kind of spreading the message that there are resources available. There's research you can do on these tactics. There's a lot of good speakers and content creators who mainly talk about these topics with coercive control, abusers, narcissists, things of that nature. So I highly recommend, if you're doubting whether you're a possible or potential abuser, if fits any of these tactics, I highly encourage you to go do your own research or to schedule an appointment with a mental health professional to kind of discuss these things. I'm not a licensed mental health professional in any way, so I don't diagnose or claim to diagnose any ailments or conditions or you know, anything like that. So I'm not the guru on this. I'm just, you know, sharing my personal experience in hopes that other people out there will, you know, maybe be prevented from falling into similar situations and will know what to do when the time comes. Thank y'all for listening. Alive from the Multiverse, it's me, Grace.